Hello and welcome to the 141st edition of the GoMeanGreen.com Barbershop Podcast. This is Evan.
This is Harry.
Today we are joined by Ashton Campbell, the director and producer of the Beyond the Green episodes. Ashton, thanks for joining us.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
All right. So talk about just slamming your head into the headboard. I just don't understand. What happened? Why is this a tale of two teams this year?
I mean, it really is. It's been a roller coaster ride and a lot more downs than ups, I think. The bottom line is UTEP was the better team. They absolutely dominated us from the first play of the game. They were more prepared. It just seemed like they were going downhill and we were going uphill that entire game. You're down 7, you're down 14. They drove the defense right down the throat. They owned the line of scrimmage. What more can you say? It was just absolute domination.
They did exactly what we did to them last year. And that's you know, you said it last week going into this is kind of a mini version of our team. And the coach runs the same kind of style that Mac does. And they did it. And once again, we got down early. And when we get down early like that, it's over. I mean, it's been like that all season.
You know, we always seem to pull it together towards the end or score late to make it look like it's better than it was. Done that several times this year. But I kept watching that game, and you just think, okay, well, maybe this next drive. This is where we're going to turn around. And this is where, oh, Kidsey's going to run it. Let's see what he can do. Now, we could not get anything working. Defense could not stop him. I don't know how we won the week before. It was like, it was crazy.
And that's what it's been with this season. You know, you have the ups and downs and highs and lows. We think after SMU, we're ready to take on the world, you know, after Nicholls State. But then, you know, even last week, I think if you listen to our podcast, there was a lot of optimism flowing in that last podcast after the win.
There was, because we felt like, okay, well, you know what? There's late in the season. Look at our schedule. It's not so bad. You know, we're very few points a dog on this. We could pull something together here. We could make it into still something good. And no, then it can happen.
We played, you know, 2013 Mean Green football against FAU, and our offense wasn't spectacular, but our defense played really well, didn't make any mistakes, and held the best player on the field, basically, the guy's been unstoppable. Nobody's been able to stop that guy, and we held him to his lowest output of the season, and we won the game. You know, it's the opposite.
Well, was that really how well we played, or were we just lucky?
That was... Thank God there's only like five people in the chat. There's only a few people in the
three
chat.
Three people now. And two.
Going ahead and
one. Play Bill Withers.
So we had 100 yards rushing this game, and they had 351.
Their running back's good. I mean, that's a saving grace. And he is a pretty good running back. But, yeah, that's bad. The tackling was really not very good, and I think that's something that – it needs to be fixed, obviously, but it definitely can't go.
Do you feel like our tackling's gone backwards all year?
Yes.
Since the bowl game, it's like we're losing brain cells in the tackling field. I don't understand. I don't understand that we had 35 yards. Well, let me just, before we're talking about rushing yards, we had 35 yards lost rushing. Lost. 35 negative yards. Yeah.
Well, that's all the sacks, right?
I guess that's what that would
be. Gotta be.
How many sacks were there?
He took a beating
again.
But didn't you notice in that game, the offensive play calling, we would throw the ball behind the line to the right and behind the line to the left. Yeah. And every time we would get tackled and would lose yards. I mean, it was like the weirdest offensive.
It reminded me of those years when Dickey was out there and we would get frustrated with Daryl because he would call the same play. We would imagine Daryl going, well, it's going to work the next time. Let's just try it one more time. It'll work the next time. And every play, it didn't work. Yeah. They were on to it. You got to try something different. That's when you're playing on the Xbox, you start looking to those, you know, those screens where you never use those plays because maybe you got to try something different. This is what they should have done.
Yeah. No, it was a frustrating game on all counts. And other than I think Jeffrey Wilson, I thought, showed a little bit of spark, but that's at the end of the game, basically. But there were a few little bright moments, but for the most part, that was just a very, very disappointing loss.
I mean, garbage time touchdowns are never, I don't know how much stock you can take into them anyway. I mean, I think Jeffrey's got a lot of potential. He runs with the ball a little loose, and I think they've been trying to harp on that with him this season. But you know, so far, but he, you know, he's a true freshman. So you, I mean, what do you expect out of the guy? Yeah, exactly. Yeah. What do you expect out of that guy and to do that? But yeah, I mean, garbage time touchdowns aren't great, but at least it was a guy that we can look to build off
for the future.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Right. Well, I mean, he had 8 total yards. Jeffrey Wilson shows he had 8 total yards rushing. McNulty was the rushing leader with 65 yards. Then Jimerson and with 21, and then Wilson with 8. Smiley and Pegram with 2. Pegram seemed to is just kind of fallen off the map.
Ever since that knee injury, he's lost a step. I mean, God bless him. He still gives 110% effort out there, but he just seems a little slower than he was last year.
I think usage can attribute to that too, because he needs to get in some. Running backs have to get in some kind of groove, and they have to get the ball. And I'm not. Jimerson's been running great, so if I was a coach, I'd be feeding Jimerson the ball because he's been running better than Pegram.
And he hasn't been turning the ball over as much.
Exactly. That would have been the case last year. You know, Jimerson turned a corner, and that was unfortunate for Pegram. I don't think it was anything that Pegram. I don't think Pegram has lost too much of a step. I don't think his usage has been. I mean, let's face it. Pegram is never going to burn you. I mean, he was just going to run over you. I mean, he's, you know, I actually talked to him a little bit after the FAU game. He slammed the ball down after a play on a little, I think it was a swing pass or maybe it was just a little sweep outside, because he gained 5 or 6 yards and he came off the field and I was like, why are you mad? And he said, because I don't like getting tackled by one guy. And I was like, well, you got 5 or 6 yards, but that's the kind of mentality he has. And I think that this year in total has just been kind of frustrating for him because, you know, he probably has lost a little bit of a step. Anybody would after an ACL injury. And then usage, you know.
And I don't want to come down anybody. Obviously, there's a lot of players and a lot of frustration, and there's a lot of guys giving it their all out there. But I did notice watching the game, the offensive line and the blocks by the offensive line, they don't seem as clean. They seem like a lot of missed blocks, a lot of players just running just smooth around them. And it's something we don't see. The caliber of athlete we have on that offensive line, we didn't see this last year. And when I was watching that game, so one play I remember early on, because that's when I was still rewinding and forwarding because I was interested. When you're watching that, you were I was like, how did they just blow around them? And those players, as good as they are and as long as they've been starters, it should not have happened.
No. And I think the other part that goes through your mind in that game is this is Mac's 4th year. And this was when we were going to start seeing his recruits. You know, no more of the Dodge recruits. You're going to start seeing Mac's guys come up, and you're going to start seeing them progress and the future start to form. And when you see a game like that UTEP game, it just tells you, man, we're not just a year away. We're probably 2 or 3 years away from being where that UTEP team was in that game. And it's scary as a fan because all along we've been believing that Mac was building something special here, and now you're starting to question, at least I as a fan, I was starting to question myself and think, you know, maybe we're not where we thought we were.
I think you're supposed to at that point. You know, I mean, that's any fan, diehard fan, super fan, whatever, is going to start, when you lose, that's going to start happening. I wouldn't discount anybody to think otherwise, really, because you have to start thinking that at some point. You have to start questioning, well, wait, maybe this isn't the right plan, you know. I'm a little bit optimistic for the future. I might be one of the only ones that is, but, you know, I think there's some potential down the road. But, yes, I agree with you that when you had that, the offensive line probably hasn't played up to par. I don't know if they've been totally healthy. I know that Antonio's been kind of has always been kind of battling knees. You know, Mason got hurt earlier in the year and played through it and then probably wasn't 100% early on. But, I mean, that's not an excuse.
But we kind of had a stacked line. For the first time that I can remember in a long time, we had an offensive line that had depth.
It was a strength going into the season. That was one of the bright spots.
That was the thing. We thought, well, this offensive line will create holes for the running game and they will create protection for the quarterback. I mean, we felt like that was a given.
But I think the problem with that is, yeah, we had 4 of the 5 coming back, but we lost LaChris Aneum, who I didn't think he was the best player on the line last year.
You can't tell me that he was the glue that held it all together.
Right. But they had to move Lemon to tackle.
Yeah.
And Lemon has been disappointing. I mean, Lemon was there talking about him as being an NFL player, and now
And he still is, but at guard.
Yeah. But I think the position change, and then I don't think Sean McKinney has, you know, and he's a good kid, and I think he tries hard. But the bottom line is that tells you how fragile that chemistry and the positional thing can be on that offensive line, because just because you have 4 out of 5 starters, we have proof now that that doesn't mean they're going to be as good or better as they were last year.
All right, let's take a couple of steps back. What about the quarterback play, McNulty? Serviceable? I mean, flashes are great. I mean, what do we have there? I mean, because going into next year, it looks like he's going to, you know, he's got another year. I don't see how. I feel like he was there when I was in college.
It's one of those weird things, like Case Keenum. Like, the kid just won't, you know.
How does he have eligibility left? I don't understand it, because he scored the first touchdown in Apogee.
Ever.
You know, and it needs a repaint.
He'll always have that.
So he will always be a question in the trivia books. But, you know, have you seen him? I mean, it seems like he's doing better than he did in earlier.
I guess I'll be the goat here. I know Ashton's kind of a closet McNulty fan. I'm not inspired by this guy. I look at him, and I just – did you ever feel at any point in that game when we were down 7 or 14 or 21 that we had a chance of coming back and winning that game? I just don't see him as that kind of guy. Now, if we were the ones leading by 21 or 14, could he keep the game plan going and get us to a W, maybe a close win or whatever else? Absolutely. But I don't see him as a guy that's a difference maker, and I don't think our program's at the point where we were last year, where you could have a Derek Thompson come in and just sort of manage the game and win a lot of ball games. I think we need someone that can score points and get points on the board as our defense tries to rebuild.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I don't I don't think that. I guess my whole point is that every time I think about, well, okay, so Andrew, if Andrew isn't the answer, then who is? Is it Dejon? I mean, there's still a bunch of people who just think that Dejon is just going to walk out there and win. I mean, if you watch the UAB game and actually watch the game and then rewind it and watch a little bit of those plays again, it's disheartening. It's hard to watch.
And I think Dejon's got the skills, but watching it and watching the replay of the game and stuff like that, I don't think the mind is there.
Nobody's ever questioned his skills.
Yeah, I just don't. You know, he looked like he was in a bad place. You know, with some of the bad play, and he just couldn't pick himself back up. Now, you know, you talk about, well, if is Dejon the answer? I don't know if there is an answer out there, but you know, when you watch a game like you watched the UTEP game, and you're hoping that our defense can score because that's the only way we're going to get back in this game, you know there's a problem.
Look, let's get the record straight about Dejon. Dejon jumped the shark against UAB. Dejon had a terrible game against UAB, and the coaching staff is punishing him for that performance. And to me, I don't think that's quite right. Max said he was going to get to play in this next game. Did he really get to play that much? I mean,
it's not like Dejon just had one chance. So let's face. Okay, he played Nickel State. Let's push.
He played
Nickel
great
State.
Against Nickel State.
Nickel State, I could play great. I think I scored 3 touchdowns that game. Just move Nickel State aside for a second. La Tech scrubs. Okay, now I'm not saying that, you know, what he did well against La Tech, that it was very promising, and that he deserved the chance against Nickel State, but he had
Greer jumped the shark against La Tech. It wasn't
then Indiana. Dejon didn't do anything against Indiana. I mean, we talked about this before the podcast. Indiana hasn't won a game since our game. Not like they're world beaters out there. Like,
he threw a nice touchdown pass. He had some good plays against Indiana. That's not quite
was
fair.
That against their twos or threes again? Or was it against the Rams? No, it was early. It was
in the fairly
first half.
Early, but I'm just saying. Indiana wasn't where he lost his everything. It was UAB. And I agree with you. UAB was a nightmare. It was a terrible performance by him. But do we really put him on the shelf for the rest of the year for one game? I mean, I just think that's a little harsh.
To play the other side of that, I guess, is, I mean, I wouldn't want, I mean, do you want to go out there if he goes out there and they keep losing, maybe the coaches are thinking that, okay, do we just shatter the kid's confidence by going out there and continuing to lose? Or what if he keeps playing bad, like he did against UAB the next week, and then the next week, and then the next week, and then he's trying to recover, and then that could shake him for a while. Now, I'm not saying benching him isn't going to shake him, but benching him should wisen him up. I mean, I wanted to see a guy that maybe would go out there and win some battles at practice. And I think if Dejon had done that, he'd be starting right now. I mean, that's a fair assumption because, I mean, it's not like the coaches wanted to get McNulty in there. I mean, it's almost like by putting Dejon in there before they went to McNulty after La Tech or against La Tech, they wanted Dejon to take the opportunity. I mean, you've heard from the coaches. They wanted Dejon to get this opportunity.
And that Beyond the Green episode was built around Dejon taking the reins.
Yeah, Dejon kind of made me look still. That's legit, though. I mean, right now, as we're 3-7, I mean, if anybody can start a quarterback, you know, if they have a good practice, I think that if Dejon went out there and just lit the world up, Mac would think, you know what do I got to lose? I mean, now we're not going to a bowl game. That's decided. So I think he really thinks that Andrew's earned it. And personally, I don't see how Andrew has not earned it. I mean, you know, they both had the same amount of wins, and one was against Nicholls State.
So we're back to a quarterback controversy in the offseason is what we are. We've got a McNulty, a Dejon, and Means situation, right? Is that where we're looking at going into the spring?
And then maybe some other guy will pop up. I mean, literally, none of those guys are, you know, should be considered like runaway favorites at this point. So anybody could step up. I mean, they could get a JUCO transfer and –
Yeah, those have worked out well for us.
I know. I'm not saying that that's a great idea. I'm just saying that.
Yeah, because there was
Brock Berglund.
No, Brock Berglund.
Yeah, he was.
Well, what about
Greer?
Oh, no, not Greer.
Yeah.
Wait, there'll be another one here. Yeah, I mean, I'd hate to. You know, you don't want to dump on these guys. They bust their ass. But, you know, as a fan, it's just been a frustrating season. We've had plenty of these, obviously, since we've been doing this, since Dickie's last year, and we've had one winning season. We were kind of hoping to string at least two together, but it's not to be. So we're back at a familiar place, and it's not a good place. Harry, I do want to commend you on using the jumped the shark quote twice, which I was, you know, I started thinking about where that came from. Do you know where jump the shark came from?
Fonzie.
It is. Fonzie jumping the shark. That's the point where every television show or anything is at its low point.
Someone put that, had a clip of that video of him on the skis. That was really Henry Winkler on the skis on that.
In his leather jacket. That's when the television show hits a low point. So do you think
that's
this
when the television
our,
show jumped the shark?
Yeah. Is this when we've jumped the shark? Are we at a low point for this season?
Hopefully not. Hopefully this is
hopefully we've hit the low season.
Oh, true. I mean, I'm hopeful that we can bounce back and that there's improvement, but man, you know.
Okay, so we've got the no bowl game monkey off of our back.
So I think that could be a good thing.
Now can they get a little crazy and start throwing some stuff out there they hadn't seen and seeing what they can do and changing things up? I mean, what can they do? What can we do to salvage these last two games? Because let me tell you, the last two games would be kind of a meh. But we got UTSA, and we definitely want to be able to put something together on the field for that UTSA game. I mean, I know that's a week and a half away, but I really want something to come out of that.
I want to win the last two games, but I'm torn. I mean, I feel like you're exactly right, Evan. We have been so focused on getting wins and getting to bowl eligibility and all that. That's part of why I think McNulty's playing. I mean, I think they felt like they had a better chance to win games. Is that the best thing for the future of the program? I don't know. But at this point, you know, why would you not want to get guys time? Why would you not want to evaluate? This is why we're in this trouble this year, is because did they ever give any of these other quarterbacks any time, or was it Derek Thompson playing in the fourth quarter when we were ahead by 30 points? You know what I mean? I think use these last two games to evaluate your talent. What's the difference between winning three games and five games? Is it really going to make that big a difference in the whole thing? I don't know.
You know who came in for Derek Thompson a few times last year in garbage time was Andrew McNulty. So,
like two plays the whole season. They kept DT in the whole game a lot of times. I didn't understand that, but I mean, but no, you want to evaluate some players. Find out what you got. I mean,
I
think that's a good move for Mac to do.
Okay, so we're two and a half point dogs this week against Florida International. It's 4-7. So, you know, looking at Florida International, who they beat and who they, you know, they beat Middle Tennessee, which I was kind of surprised that they did that. They beat Florida International. They beat UAB and they beat the powerhouse of Wagner. But they lost to Bethune-Cookman. I don't see that they played Incarnate Word on here, which would really be a barometer of where they are.
Ricky Williams.
So they lost to UTSA 13-16. So this could give us a good idea of what we're looking at going into it. But to the last couple of games. But what? I mean, I guess it's going to be which team shows up this week.
Yeah, I mean the home team for North Texas usually is a lot better than the road team. I'll tell you that much. So I think we got a chance. The other thing we haven't talked about tonight is it's like 100% chance of rain Saturday. Our running game and ball control probably that. I would think that plays into our favor a little bit. Wouldn't you guys agree?
Well, you'd think. But, you know, with the – well, I mean, it's at Fouts. I'm not Fouts, my God. It's at Apogee.
It's so at Fouts? It's oh, at man. Fouts.
Might as well. I think we could fill it up.
No, we couldn't.
No, okay. Then, no, there's another – there's only one side now.
That's right.
We still
– so, you know, it is good. That's troubling me is the weather forecast. I did see that 100% chance of rain – And Wayne. And I guess it's a senior game, and it always kills me when it's senior game and it's rainy and nobody's there, and that always bothers me. Because there's some guys here that have been really good players for us for 4 years, so it's going to be rough no matter what, just because of the rain.
Yeah.
My wife already asked, what time are we going to the game? You're not supposed to rain the whole time.
Can you get those club tickets again? Adam? Yeah.
So it's gonna be
my in-laws took mine, so
it's gonna be a tough crowd.
Yeah,
it's gonna be a real tough crowd, and it's the last home game, so you gotta wonder if hopefully we can. This is obviously a team we could beat if we bring any kind of a game.
I was talking to Mason on Tuesday and yesterday and
Daryl or Y Barba,
sorry. I always say Mason. I always kind of don't include Daryl Mason. Sorry, Daryl. And he brought up an interesting point. This is the class that built Apogee. It's like these are the guys that kind of – Mason has started every game at Apogee Stadium, like, and him and Cyril, and that's crazy to me. It's like there's a lot to play for this weekend. You know, I mean, these guys don't want to go out their last home game, a stadium that they've built and been 16-7 since it opened. I mean, that's a pretty solid record. You know, say, I'll take 16-7 right now over, you know, 3-7.
Yeah.
You know,
no doubt.
And so I think that there's a lot to play for, you know, in a sense of pride. And maybe they'll play more loose. You know, maybe like you were saying that they have the bull monkey off their back and they know where they stand. And it's kind of playing for the guy standing next to them. And, you know, maybe we'll see a great performance. I mean, we see a lot of good performances at home anyway, but maybe we'll see a really stellar one that'll give us hope for the season. And maybe we'll see some guys, some young guys come in and do some stuff like a Jeffrey Wilson or something like that.
I agree.
So it's interesting to see the conference USA, you know, Louisiana Tech's on top and Rice, UTEP, UTSA. UTSA is in fourth at 2-4 and 3-7 overall. I mean, that's kind of a sad situation. Then us and Southern Miss. And then you got Marshall over there that's 10-0, and, you know, they play two games, UAB and Western Kentucky, and I think they're just pretty much going to win both of those.
I think it's great. I'm so happy for
it's
Marshall.
It's good for the conference.
Yeah.
It is good for the conference to have a team like that. When you look at their schedule, who they played, I mean, everybody's beating them up on that, but it always causes a little. What it does is it's a piece. It's sand in the eye of the big programs and the whole playoff system and all this kind of deal and what it's going to be.
The best thing that happened to us is that East Carolina lost because they were sort of the American, whatever they're called, conference version of Marshall.
Mm-hmm.
So Conference USA is going to come out ahead from the league that a lot of Conference USA schools left Conference USA for. So I'm a huge Marshall fan. I hope they have a great
– Well, they're ranked 21.
They're going to get a good bowl game. Now, they're not going to be in the playoff, but – I think they're going to get a good bowl game, and I think they might beat somebody. It's going to be fun to watch them.
Mm-hmm. And it's too early for projections, but I would like to see who they're going to play on that. I mean, they soundly beat up Rice 41-14, and they've had several big scores this year on that. Any other scores you want to talk about from last week? You know, UTSA won. We talked about Florida International beat Middle Tennessee.
UTSA beat USM, right? 12 to 10, I believe, or something like that.
Yeah, 12 to 10.
Ugh.
That was barn burner.
And if you look at Southern Miss's record, they only have one win in the conference, right?
Who was that against?
That's just... Oh. I saw that on Sunday, and I almost wept a little bit. Actually, I did weep. I wept, everybody. I just wept at the computer, just sitting there crying on my keyboard.
Well, they also beat Alcorn State.
The 12 points were four field goals, by the way. Sticks on the message in the chat room said that's four field goals.
This is kind of scary, by the way. You know, UTSA's got a really salty defense, by the way. I think they're ranked like relatively high for what you think they would be ranked. And I was talking to one of the coaches the other day, and they mentioned that FIU's defense is pretty good as well, and we might be playing two of the best defenses all season these next 2 weeks.
I wasn't aware of that.
I think the stat I heard was these are two of the top four defenses we'll see this season. Wow. These next 2 weeks, and how they stack up right now, and you know, our offensive numbers aren't very good, so that kind of worries me a little bit. So sorry to rain on that parade.
Well, the most points scored on them, I guess, was 41 by Florida Atlantic.
Who we beat?
UTSA.
Lucky Whitehead.
Yeah. So I mean, there's, you know, I was trying to. I thought maybe they had a lot of. You know, Houston scored 7 on them.
Yeah. That first game of the season,
they beat Houston.
They came out. Well, that's the first two games.
On Houston's new stadium.
Oh, that's awesome.
Good.
That kind of. Who else did that on somebody else's
exactly.
new stadium? Houston did that.
The day that Andrew McNulty scored the first touchdown of Appleton Stadium.
That's right. Down there at the end there the north end. So Houston, they beat UTSA, beat Houston 27-7, and then they nearly beat Arizona. You know, it was 26-23.
It was a good game.
So they almost started out 2-0 and just, and then they got whopped by Oklahoma State and then Florida Atlantic, which I don't think they think, and they're going to lose that one, 37-41, which is a really close game.
Well, and the thing with UTSA is that quarterback, Tucker Carter, whoever got injured and then, you know, never was the same the rest of the season after those first two games, which again tells you what is the most important thing you can do as far as a college football team. It's recruit and evaluate quarterbacks. And that to me is the one thing when I look at this season, what happened, what went wrong, you know, for North Texas. And I think in hindsight, we're going to look back 10, 20 years from now, God willing, and say that, man, we just did a really poor job of evaluating recruiting quarterbacks because you look at Brock Berglund wasn't this year, but I mean, we brought him in and it was a bust. And then
we thought he was
going to be the future for 3 or 4 years. And then you bring in Josh Greer and it's the same thing. The guy won a national or a, you know, junior college bowl and all this other stuff. And he turns out to be a bust.
I'm still scratching my head at that one. Because as much as we heard, we know he's got the credentials on paper, comes in at the Texas game, and that was just one of the most frustrating points of the year. What happened? And then not to get anything else out, and it's kind of disappeared. It has been a very frustrating season, and it's been a frustrating decade with the quarterback situation.
Yeah.
Do we – I mean, you know, this might piss some people off, but I'm just going to ask the question anyway. Do we perhaps overrate quarterbacks coming in because we've never had like an amazing stellar, like, you know, Heisman finalist quarterback that went out there and just did, you know, did whatever he wanted. I mean, since, you know, I mean, Hall or something like that, I guess, I don't know. I mean, do we, every quarterback that we mention, you know, I still want to know why Dejon got all the hype last season. I'd really love to know that because it's not like he was doing anything that was just like, oh my God. Cause then he would have been the number two quarterback instead of the number three all season. You know, why did he get all the hype? And then, you know, Brock Berglund coming in was going to be the savior. Well, but why? I mean,
well,
what did he
came in and McNulty, Coach Mack came in the fall and had a press conference, and I was sitting at it, and he basically compared. But DT was going to lose the job to Dejon.
To Dejon, yeah, he said that Dejon
was special, and then he reminded him of Brett Meyer, who's like the greatest quarterback that Iowa State ever had. So when your head coach is sitting there looking at you in the eye, telling you that, it's hard not to take it seriously. But in hindsight, now it hasn't worked out.
Yeah, I think that, and I agree. And you know, there could be some coach speak there. He could be trying to light a fire under DT's ass.
That's true.
I don't know.
That's
I mean,
true.
You know, there was. I don't know. You know, it's, I mean, hey, everybody would say this. I mean, DT wasn't out there lighting the world on fire before last season. And, and I mean, you know, there were question marks there, and he wasn't, I guess, guaranteed a job. But, I mean, I think he was the starter all along. And I really think that Mac did a smart thing by kind of riding that a little bit and letting Derek feel the heat a little bit, and that let him go out there against Idaho and really light it up. And it was Idaho. I get it. But, I mean, it may have been some motivation, maybe some tactics there.
I just think when you look back and reflect on these seasons, you can't help but say what caused the problems. And the quarterback's most important position on the team. And look at what La Tech. They brought one guy, a one-year transfer guy in, and now they're walking away with the West Division. You look at UTEP, that guy that they had was a transfer as well.
That drives me bonkers. When and we've got a history of playing against teams, their quarterback's out, oh, they're going to bring in their backup. All right, yeah. Remember that year against Air Force? Went up to Air Force, we're thinking, all right, they're going to bring in a backup quarterback. He totally dominated us.
And that's when we had Booger at tackle.
Yes. I mean, it was like, how does this happen? People bring in their, like, fourth-string quarterback who wouldn't even suit it up, and he comes in and just destroys us. But we can't get a starting quarterback who we put everything on to really dominate the game and be that guy. It's always a running back for us, or a defensive player, you know, of some sort, or a kick return. You know, it's never the quarterback for us that really makes the impact. So let's talk about defense a little bit. It was announced earlier this week that John Scalia is going to be retiring. How does this go for us next year? What are we going to have to get? Who are they going to try to fill that position with? And what are we going to be having coming back? Is the cupboard going to be bare on the defensive side of the ball? And what about Lincoln? Is he going to be okay?
He's out for the rest of the season.
Done. Yeah.
But is
done.
Hey, what's the long-term prognosis?
He's
a
senior.
On
he's gone.
Oh, that's
senior.
Right. He was a senior. Yeah. I was saying he's a junior.
Yeah, he.
That's
he
why he was so
up
upset
big,
about
yeah.
that.
Which is sad because they're saying he's going to have to be on crutches for senior. You know, he's going to have to walk out on crutches.
His knee's pretty. I mean, his leg is fat.
Yeah.
And his other leg is not fat. Let's put it that way. I mean, it's. I was with him or sitting there with him yesterday at practice, and he's in good spirits, which is nice. He was pretty broken. It was really hard to watch. I felt really bad for that kid because he's been one of the guys on the defensive line that's really like gone out there every week and showed up at least.
Well,
and
I think the defensive line's been a pleasant surprise for a lot of these games this week. We weren't really expecting a whole lot
some
out
bright
of them,
spots, for sure.
And there were some definite bright spots there that they really showed us something. So back to the defensive talk for next year.
I think whoever it comes in, the DC. If you were going to make any guesses, proclamations, anything like that, you got to go look at Mac's history, and it's got to be a guy that Mac's been with at some point in time before. I mean, that's just how he rolls. I mean, it's the proof is in the pudding. He's done that with really everybody, I guess, so far that he's brought in at some point in time. I mean, they've crossed paths or they've been highly recommended because the guy was, you know, I think Perry Carter, I don't know if there's any lineage there with him, but he
more
coached
often
with Wade,
than not.
He coached under Wade Phillips, and Wade Phillips and Mac are very close. So there's kind of the connection there. But, yes, more often than not, probably 95% of the time, they've got some kind of connection to Mac. So I think that you start there, and you start looking at all the guys. And I think a lot of people so far, and I think Vito's started out there. I mean, Noah Joseph's a name that I think is going to pop up a lot. And, frankly, Indiana didn't have a good season. That
had one since they beat North Texas.
That whole staff could – don't say that. The whole staff could be gone, but Noah's a Midwest guy, and I don't know. I mean, he might not want to come back down. I mean, yeah, anybody who's not a defensive coordinator, in my opinion, and who gets that call should jump at the chance, unless it's not a pay increase at all. I guess. I don't know.
All due respect, Coach Sclodany was fantastic. I mean,
I think so.
I think what a great coach and, you know, what a great career. But in our current situation – what we need more than anything else is a recruiter. We need someone that can recruit athletes. We're sitting in a hotbed of talent. We're in probably the best location of any Conference USA school out there as far as talent. We need to get better players. And you can say the defensive line was better than what we thought. You know, I looked at the defensive line against UTEP, and they looked small.
Still small. I mean,
and they looked out overmatched, and they didn't really look like where you want your division one. It's nothing against them as you know, people or players or anything else, but we got to get better athletes in this program. That's my big thing for whoever they bring in. Hey, I hope he's got a good coaching mind. He's got to be a good coach to get a defensive coordinator position at the division one level, but I want to lean on a guy that can recruit, that can go out and bring in good players.
Harry Myers.
You heard it here first.
These guys are tough, man.
Dude, but I totally agree. And, you know, I hate to be so, you know, Debbie Downer, but it's just been a tough season, especially after last year where we came around on a high and now we feel like it's owed to us. But we got to remember how many bad years we had to do. So maybe this is a pattern. Maybe we have to wait 10 years in between bowl games.
It's a pretty big offseason.
One down.
Oh, God. And all right, see ya. Now, it's a pretty huge offseason, I think. I mean, there's a lot of question marks. I think guys have to step up. Some guys that redshirted this year, transferred, sat out, you know, whatever. We got into a couple of them last week. They have to because, you know, I was talking to Harry before the podcast tonight, and if you take away our roster going into next season and you look at the roster from the bowl championship season and this past season, the only guys that are coming back that are, you know, everybody's gone, except the only significant contributors that are coming back are Caden Kirby, Kenny Byers, Carlos Harris, and I guess it stops there. Jimerson, but he didn't really do a ton last year. You know, it was the Brandon Bird show. You know, Chad Polk didn't do a ton last year, so didn't see a lot of playing time because, you know, studs in front of him. So, you really are a little bit bare in terms of our glory day when, you know, of last season when we had a great team and a great defense. And I think some guys really have to step up this offseason and show the coaches something, or it's going to be another long season.
Yeah. But you know what? Let's support the players. So for make sure everybody that has a chance, yeah, you could sit and watch it from the comfort of your couch, but why not be out there with friends getting wet? It is going to be a wet game, but it's a senior day. Come out to the game. Make sure you support this team because that's what we do. As much as we like to, you know, air laundry within the family here, we really got to support the team. This is our last game. And for those of you going down to the UTSA game, which it won't rain because it's an indoor stadium and that's how it works.
Rain and winds.
Yes, exactly. just make sure you come out for the last bit of the games. And, you know, we're already talking about next year. We're talking about new coaches. We're talking about the players. Can we recruit and everything else? But we still got two more games. So right now we've got three wins. We could easily turn this into a 5-7 season, right? Is
five
that right?
Seven, yeah.
5-7, which is not great, but it's, you know, it's better than nothing. Sure, we'd have been like to have been 6-6 at least. So. But, you know, anyway, so make sure you come out for the game this weekend.
I got two quick things. Tony Benford's basketball team goes to 3-0, first time in a long time. They've started off the season beating Delaware State tonight. So congratulations to the basketball team. And secondly, someone in the chat room brought up a good point. This game Saturday is going to be like the Nevada game at Fouts.
The Nevada game. Who brought that up?
Nice.
Holy
Where
cow.
It was the biggest monsoon, and you, I know you were at that game.
I was at that game, but I'm just thinking whoever brought that up, because whoever did, because I pretty much had blocked it out.
But that was a win, and if you might remember, Jaquay Wilburn was just like, had mutters on. I mean, he was just running all up and down the field, but that was a great, I think, step down memory lane.
Add that into the drainage situation in Fouts, and it was I think there was more water in the floor on the floors in the men's room there was in the urinals. Oh,
so great. Thank you for that, Sticks. That was funny. Ashton, what do you got?
Wow.
No, I mean, I'm piggyback what Evan said. You know, I think there's a lot of seniors on this team that have done a lot for the program. And I think that they, I mean, coming out to support these guys, you know, the Mason Ybarbos, the Antonio Johnson, Cyril Lemon, you know, say what you want about Cyril's season this year, you know, out of position, whatever. But the guy's been a rock, and he was a huge contributor to the bowl championship team last year. And, you know, I mean, we need to support these guys right now because I think that, you know, I mean, Derek Okune, I mean, this is a guy that we haven't been able to talk about that much this season. I mean, he's the top of the Conference USA in tackles. He, again, had another – I think he had 9 or 10 tackles this past weekend. The guy's just really going through a great season. He's not even going to get that much credit because of our record. And that to me, is just really sad because that guy is really filled – he picked up where Zach Orr left off in terms of dominating linebackers. Unfortunately, he doesn't have guys around him that are contributing as much.
Right, that's definitely an issue. So we got several players. Don't forget, we get the whole Carthage crew that's going to be coming around next
Tigre.
I mean, you got those guys back there too. We possibly have another quarterback switch coming up. We've got several things to look forward to next year. We are losing some quality players, but hey, you know, this is it. So we got two games left, this weekend at Fouts and next weekend at UTSA, and then we'll go right into basketball season and start speculating on the recruiting class and then spring ball, and then we'll do it again.
That's right.
So with that, thanks for joining us. Go Mean Green.
Go Mean Green.
We'll say Go Mean Green. Dude, it's not too late. I haven't cut
go
it.
Go Mean Green.
I was so weak.
I thought you already turned it down.
No, I did. All right.
Go fail. Mean Green. Epic fail.